Welcome to the Embodied CEO podcast. I'm Kirsten, and I like to say that I'm an idealistic entrepreneur because I want it all. The career, motherhood, freedom of time and money, and fun in my business. And in 20 years of entrepreneurship, I've learned how hard this road can be for women when we try to reach the top in business, especially for those of us who also threw motherhood into the mix. My accidental life's mission has become all about empowering women to become powerful in whatever season of life we find ourselves in right now. Our road is often harder than it should be, and we've been told by many that we should travel it in a way that honestly doesn't match our reality. This podcast is about rejecting that and trusting our own instinct instead. It's about dreaming the big dream and being mothers if we choose to or not, and it's about boldly taking up space, using our voice, and building goals that don't have to make sense to anyone other than ourselves. We're going to have the no-holds-barred conversations while raising each other up and maybe sometimes while crying together if we have to, because we can be CEOs in a way that actually feels good. I'm so glad you're joining me. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Embodied CEO podcast. I have a special guest with me today, and I'm going to kind of say she's a little bit of a unicorn. And before I tell you who she is, here's why she's a unicorn. I have been in business for 20-some years, and finding people like her, it's like finding a needle in a haystack, and you learn it the hard way because you first find a bunch of other people who you think are like her, and then you realize after it has cost you tens of thousands of dollars that they're not all the same, which is probably true in every industry, right? But specifically for this as a business owner, you need to find people like her. So Barbara, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm super excited. So before I let you kind of tell us about you, brief intro, Barbara is the CEO and founder of yourtaxcoach.com. If you don't follow her yet, please go find her immediately. Pause this podcast, go to Instagram, find her at yourtaxcoach. She's a tax strategist. I'm going to let her explain that difference in just a second, but that's the unicorn part. And I want to explain to you why this is so important. And if you've been on my podcast or listened to my podcast, you know this background story. We have had all the horror stories, my husband and I, in our life in business, of the CPAs and the people who are, as he always says, the bean counters, who aren't looking to save you money. They're just looking to count the beans, and they don't care where the chips fall because it's not their money, and they just literally count the beans. So Barbara, tell everybody why what you do is different.
Yeah, thank you so much. So really what a tax strategist is like it sounds, we're there to strategize with you. How can we save you money in taxes? And it's so much different than just a tax preparer or an accountant, right? A typical tax preparer, you just give them the numbers, they put them on a form, they file it for you by the deadline, and that they've done their job, right? They keep you compliant and your form is filed so that you don't get in trouble. But what they're not doing is they're not digging in deeper. And so that's what we do. We look at your financials, we look at your goals and your finances, and it's like, okay, what are you already doing that we can save you money in taxes? What credits are you missing out on? How can we change your spending or investing or retirement? And all of these things can help you save money in taxes. And I always like to say, like, every time you spend money in your business, it can either cost you more in taxes or it can save you more in taxes. And so we are just there to help you all year round. So that way, when April comes around every year, you're not so stressed out and you don't get this like crazy surprise bill.
And what a perfect time for you to be on this podcast right now as we're in tax season, especially for all the business owners. Hopefully you have your stuff in order or you filed for an extension if you don't plan on having it in order here by middle of March, because it's that time.
Yes.
And I will tell you that that strategy part, the like, you don't know what you don't know as a business owner. And, you know, I remember as a kid, because my dad was always like, well, business is so volatile and you should be employed by somebody. But then I would hear other people explain, but like, there's benefits to being a business owner because it saves you money and you get all these tax breaks. And then when we became business owners, like, where are all these tax breaks that everyone's talking about? Because no one tells you. And you have to kind of do that work yourself and find it. And usually you find that at the expense of your own taxes, right? And then it's like, oh, we paid for things that we weren't supposed to be paying for, and we didn't take advantage of things that we were supposed to take advantage of. So all of that to say, bless you, woman, for what you do, because there aren't enough people out there who do what you do.
because it's tough being a business owner. And then at the end of the year, when it's like, oh, and now Uncle Sam with the handout, and like, of course, I want to pay Uncle Sam everything I owe Uncle Sam. Let me say that for the record. I just don't want to pay Uncle Sam more than I should be paying Uncle Sam. So that's where you come in,
right?
Which I love. Tell me real quick, how did you get into this field? Like, I'm going to just come out and say it, like, becoming an accountant does not sound super sexy. So like, what was the thing that made you do, you know what, taxes really do it for me. Like, this is really what I want to be doing.
Well, so there's like kind of two stories to this. One is like the how did you pick accounting type story. And really it was, I was a junior in college. I got pregnant. And I was a business major already, but I was in marketing. And I was like, I have to switch my major because I can't have a chance when I graduate to not have a job because I have a baby to take care of. And so I went to my career counselor and they were like, you have to switch to accounting. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, are you sure? Like, does it have to be accounting?
You're like, there's nothing else, really?
Yeah, seriously. And I've always loved math and I was always really good at math. Although once I became an accountant, I'm like, you don't actually have to know math. The software does it for you. But I switched to accounting. But then it's like, why am I so passionate about it? And that really comes down to like, when I was growing up, my parents are addicts. They still are. And so money was always an issue for us. And sometimes we didn't have food on the table. Like, what I was able to eat was what was at school. And so if I really like peel back the layers, it's if I can help a family save $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, we've even saved people millions, then that is life-changing money for them. And what can they then do with their family? Or can they get out of a shitty relationship because now they have the money to do so? We've had clients be able to adopt their kids because they got a refund check from the IRS. And if they didn't get that refund check, they wouldn't have had the money to adopt their baby. And so just so many life-changing stories. And that's really like my passion behind it all.
Oh my God, I just got chills. I didn't know that story at all. I didn't know that story. And you know what resonates with me about that? Not that I don't have the growing up story to relate to that, and bless you for going through that and coming out the other side relatively unscathed, right? Like, here you are and you're doing all this work. But I have always said since the beginning, when I started the business part of my business, you know, I had this conversation this morning with somebody on a different podcast who was asking me, what are the metrics you look at? And I was like, well, yeah, of course we look at metrics because again, numbers, right? Numbers in the end matter. But I care the most when I get messages from people about, because of this, I was able to do this, especially because I work mostly with women, right? And I feel it's very strongly as a mother who has been a spouse for a really long time and who had a mother who was very much financially dependent on my father's income, right? And I grew up with that. Mm-hmm. And they're still happily married and that's all fine. But I knew that my mother didn't have a whole lot of choices in things simply because she was financially dependent. Right. And to me, it's always been about, I want women to understand that there are options and we can excel in motherhood, but we can also excel in business and we can still feel fulfilled. And the dream can be as big or as small or as medium or as, you know, fluctuating as we want it to be. So my metric has always been my having impact on people. And what a testament to you just now in that story that like you've literally changed lives with taxes. I mean, who would have thought, and I'm not talking like, you know, celebrity didn't pay their tax and went to jail kind of changing lives, but changing lives is like expanding families or getting out of poverty or putting food on your children's table at night, right? Like, I mean, it doesn't get more real than that to know that you made a decision in business school to be like, you know what, I'll do accounting. Yeah, it sounds super exciting, but like, look what you're doing with it, right? Like every day you get to actually change how people function in their business and not just going out and doing the fun things and buying a new purse and all of that, but changing how they live. And that's massive. The impact on small business owners or just average Joes is massive.
Yeah. And a lot of people, especially I think business owners, they're not looking at taxes like that. You know, they see it as this expense and like, oh, it's like causes a ton of anxiety and I hate having to do it and I hate tax season. But it's like, what if you spent a little more time thinking about your numbers and thinking about your taxes, because it does matter. Because if you can save $10,000, what can you do with that? It's more of like this abundance mindset.
I love that. Yeah, switching the narrative, right? Like it's one of those necessary, like we call it a necessary evil, but like it's also not an evil, right? We obviously know there's legitimate reasons for taxes, but even as a business owner, I choose to look at it as a, now that I understand taxes and have the right people in my corner, I choose to look at it from the perspective of I now get to play in this money that I've made, in this money that the business makes, in the how do I set my children up for the future, right? Like, let me pay my children, let me use that, let me do all of these things that obviously I can say now on the flip side, after I've learned how to do this, this all makes sense. Before that, it's daunting. But I think that just goes to show, it's like anything else. It's daunting until you understand how. Once you understand how, essentially nothing is really that daunting in life. Do you know what I mean? Like everything seems like a big deal until you understand how to do it. And then you're like, oh, this could actually be fun. Let me play in this space a little bit because so much positive could come out of it.
And I love that you use the word play because it is really like, it can be fun and it can be a game. It's like, okay, I have this much income. How can I spend it so that I'm dishing out the least amount as possible to the IRS, but I get to fund my children's future, or I get to fund my retirement, or what charities can I impact and give money to, or what programs can I set up for my employees to incentivize them to meet their financial goals. And so it is like this fun game, at least to us. We love the puzzle of it all.
I love, and that's exactly it. It is such a puzzle, right? Because there's moving pieces. And I think that's the overwhelm for most people. There's too many moving pieces that they don't understand. And it was for us, because again, we ended up with a whole lot of bean counters who were just like, give us the numbers, we'll put them in the sheet and we'll send it off. And then we'll tell you, you owe the IRS your left arm, right? Like that was the conversation. And until we switched that conversation, now it's a, back to the word you were saying earlier, it's impact. How can I use this money that my business produces and play these cards correctly so I can have more impact, which is a whole different conversation. Like I no longer dread tax season. I used to dread tax season. I still don't like collecting the documents because that's just annoying, but that's just, you know, paperwork annoying. But I no longer dread what that final number will be because I spend the entire year with the right people in my corner, making sure that I have my ducks in a row and I know exactly what's happening. There's no surprises. I understand it. There's no surprises and I've maximized what I can. And exactly like you said, set my children up for, you know, generational wealth before they ever have jobs. They'll retire millionaires before they ever have jobs, you know? So it's a whole different ballgame when we get to that. But I want to know on that thought, when you then came out of college, so obviously you have a baby at this point or about to have a baby. I'm just going to guess here and correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably didn't come out of college going, let me start my own business.
Correct. I don't even think I really knew what owning a business was. I never had anyone in my life that was an entrepreneur. I was the first person in my family to even graduate college. And so, no, I graduated college in a lot of debt. And luckily, I did get a job at the number one accounting firm in the entire world. So I got this like prestigious job, right? And so I thought I had made it. And at that point, so I was pregnant junior year. I had him on spring break. I went back to school the very next week. So once I graduated, he was one. And so still like newborn toddler, and get this like number one job in the world. And I moved to the Bay Area for it. And it's in this like 80-story building. And I'd never been to a big city before. And I get there and I get off on my floor and I look around and I'm like, this is what people were like dreaming of. Right? Like I saw it instantly. And
was it just
I was
the
one
sea
of the
of
first
cubicles?
People.
Like, is that what you were walking
just
into?
A sea
the sea
of cubicles.
Yeah.
And like, you can just see like how tired people were and how much they like dreaded their job and coming to work. And like, they hated the commute and the traffic and just like, just so many things. I could just feel the vibe. Like I very much feel people's energy. And the second I got off the elevator, I was like,
not for me.
I just made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I did stay there for a little bit because, you know, it looks good on your resume, but my manager had left, as most people do. Their turnover rate is really high. And luckily he poached me to like a smaller firm, more local firm. And then I met my husband, my now husband, and he moved us to North Carolina. So I worked at a few different accounting firms and we were moving yet again because he was military. So we moved from California to North Carolina. Then we were moving North Carolina to Arizona. So a few cross-country moves. And I was kind of just tired of like switching firms. Although none of the firms were like perfect, right? I was always like,
I feel like they can do this better. Like, why are we just doing all these tax returns? And like, I have to tell this person who I've never met that they owe $50,000 in taxes, and they're crying to me, and they're like, what do I do? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just told to tell you, you know, you owe this much. And I'm just thinking, like, there has to be a better way. And I remember seeing a tax strategy, like, certification and training, and I just like took it, paid for it out of my own pocket, didn't have a business at the time. And I was like, this is what I've been looking for. And so when we were moving from North Carolina to Arizona, I ended up saving a client from the last firm I worked at, like $2 million in taxes. It was this huge construction firm. And I was supposed to get a commission off of like how much they saved, because they ended up paying this company the most. Like, that firm had been in business since the 60s. And the partner was like, wow, they just wrote us the biggest check we've ever received. And in my head, I'm like, sweet, I should get.
What do I get?
Yeah. Like, I'm getting a commission on this. Well, I didn't get the commission, and I'm crying to my husband because that commission would have paid off my student loans, and which was like crippling at the time. And my husband was like, well, if that client was your client, how much would they have paid you? And that was like my light bulb moment. And I was like, well, I guess they would have paid me the same.
Yeah.
And he's like, so why don't you start your own business? Like, we're moving across the country. You'll have to switch firms anyway.
Yeah.
And so a week later, I opened an LLC and started posting random things on Instagram, and people liked seeing what accountants do, apparently, which also seems weird. And it kind of blew up from there. Yeah, we started in 2020. Now we have 30 full-time employees, and wow. It's nuts. Yeah.
That's wild. So I have three things to say to that. One, I'm going to double down on the unicorn thing, because this is a small thing that you just said, but only the moms will have picked this up. You had a baby and a week later you went back to school. Hello. Like, a week later, yeah, after I had all of my children, I was like, nobody talk to me, nobody touch me. Like, just let me lay somewhere and try to recover from this nightmare that just overtook my body. So kudos on that, first of all. Like, let's just not undermine that, because that by itself is a feat. But then
I don't recommend it for anyone.
I believe
those
that
were the cards I was dealt.
I believe that 100%. Yeah. But that's wild. And there you are. It's like these experiences turn us into something, right? So like, kudos to you on that. But the second piece that you said about recognizing that, wait, why don't I just like fix the things that other people aren't doing right? Like, this could be done better. I feel like we have such parallel stories on that, because I'm a dietitian by trade, right? You and I've had this conversation. That's my background. That's what I was trained for. I've been an entrepreneur on and off for 20 some years, but I used to work in our industry and I was like, everything we're doing is stupid. Why are we doing these stupid things? Like, we could literally help people, but we're not. We're just like pushing information at them and then telling them, well, you have this disease. Good luck. Bye. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was the answer. And I was like, but we could fix this. Like, we could dig deeper. We could help them solve the problem. And that just wasn't the standard. Nobody was doing that. Nobody cared to do that. So I eventually said, okay, so like, I'm just going to go do that on my own then, because what you're doing does not make sense to me and I don't want to do that. That's literally what you did. You said, this is dumb. And also, you're getting paid for me being smarter than you. So I'm just going to go do this over here now. Amazing. And I will also say this, a third part, I have followed your Instagram probably since 2020. So I have seen the glow up. Like, I've
an
been
OG
there the whole time. Yes, I am an OG. I have seen the glow up. I think I started following you where you were like 2,000 followers or something. And I'm like, look at her go, right? But what you were saying about people like watching what accountants do, no, they don't. But people like watching the way you do accounting, because that's not the same. Because that isn't, you know, make sure you fill out your K-1 and you have this submitted. Like, it's not that. That's not what you all do. You do the real life application of, hi, are you tired of paying for stuff that you shouldn't be paying for? Let me show you how to play the game of taxes, which is a whole other ballgame. So I appreciate you for that a lot.
Thank you.
I want to ask on that, because I believe you work with your husband now. Is that correct? Am I making that up? I see him sometimes in your Instagram.
Yeah, I retired him in 2022. He had 14 years in the military. Everyone was like, you guys are freaking crazy. Like, he could retire and get a pension in 6 years. And I was like, do you know how long 6 years is?
In the military?
Like, you know how much we can accomplish in six years? Yeah. And especially in the military, like, his job, he's on a 6 month rotation. So 6 months overseas, 6 months home, 6 months overseas, 6 months home. And like, when you have kids, it's so hard. But also, it's like, just when you're getting in like the routine of them being home,
he's got to leave.
They're leaving again. And So we went like back and forth with it for a couple of years. And finally, he had the courage to say, enough is enough. And he was done just over a year ago.
That's massive. First of all, thank him for his service, because we do appreciate that. I will say my husband, before he went full time in his job, he was working at another job and Monday through Friday travel while we had three kids under the age of five. Mm-hmm. So not quite 6 months gone, but it's kind of like 6 months gone, because he was yeah. never here Monday through Friday. And he would come home on the weekends and he would have no idea what the routine was. The kids were like, what? I want mommy, right? And it was just like, it was too much. So eventually we made that same decision of like, let's leave the steady corporate thing, because it makes no sense for our family and the amount of time you're spending away. What if we just spent all of that here and we actually, you know, got the work done? But tell me, what is it like? Because I do a lot of podcasts with my husband on, because people always want to know like the juice, the details, the behind the scenes tea of like, what's it like working with your spouse? What's it been like for you working with your spouse?
It was rough at the beginning. I will say that. Like, it is not all rainbows and butterflies. It is so much better now, and we absolutely love it. But at the beginning, it was so hard, because I was like, wait, now there's this other person that is like providing input, which is probably valid input.
He's got an opinion. What?
Yeah, I'm like, but this is my thing. And I don't know. We didn't have lines of like, okay, I'm going to do this in the company and you're going to do this in the company and really like stay in our lanes. It was just like, one day he just didn't have to drive to work. And so we were like, okay, I guess we're doing this thing. And so eventually we had to like have a meeting of the minds and be like, okay, you're really good at this stuff. I'm really good at this stuff. This is what you're going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And we're going to stay in our own lanes. I'll say we still like, we always talk about business, right? Which is kind of a downside of working with your spouse. I mean, a plus side of it is if you are always talking about business, then whenever you go on a date,
everything's an expense.
You can write off the meal as a business meal. So that's good. But you are like just always thinking about business, always talking about it. Like just when you think you're like off work, quote unquote,
never.
You have to talk to your spouse about XYZ in the business because you haven't seen each other all day because you're both on separate meetings. And so it is not all rainbows and butterflies, but it does provide a lot of freedom, and we can travel whenever we want. We can work from wherever we want. We spent the entire month of December in France, and we're spending 6 weeks, April and May, in all of Europe. And so it's a lot of freedom, but I think it will not work for everyone, and it doesn't work for everyone. And you have to set boundaries and have really open conversations with your spouse.
And I love that. And I feel like it's one of those things that will either make your marriage stronger or have it break apart, right? And I think not everyone's cut out for entrepreneurship to begin with. Like I've said that to a lot of people, just because it sounds like a good idea to work for yourself. It's not for everyone. It takes a certain kind of person, but especially then doing it with your spouse. Like if there isn't communication and there isn't mutual respect, right? Especially when one started the business and then the other one kind of joins up. Like our last business, our big IT business, it was my husband's brainchild. But then I became COO and now he was CEO and I'm COO. And that conversation sometimes in the beginning before we had boundaries and open communication, I was like, no, I'm sorry. You don't talk to me that way. Like I might be your wife, but like at work, you wouldn't talk to me this way. You wouldn't talk to another C-suite member this way. And I'm like, no, that's not what we're doing. I'm not saying he was disrespectful. I'm just saying it was, you know, the conversations that you have as husband and wife where you're like, that's a stupid idea. And you're like, excuse me, what now? Right. You have to have that cadence kind of worked out with your spouse and understand that you are my best friend and nobody knows me better than you. But like also this is where these boxes are, right? So it sounds like you've worked it out though. I see him every so often on your Instagram and he seems like he's still alive and you're still alive. So I think you've come to an agreement. Yes.
Yes. We very much love it. It does make the wins more fun. I'll say that because they get it.
Yeah.
Right? They're like in it with you. So when you do celebrate like, oh, we got this amazing new client today or we hit this many downloads or this many followers, it's like, they get it. Whereas before, you know, they're just like, they have their own job and they're just like, yeah, good job, sweetie.
Yeah.
But good for you, babe. Now it's like, we can,
Yeah.
So the wins are more fun.
That's awesome. If you had to describe your perfect day, waking up and going to work during the day, what does that look like now that you're settled in entrepreneurship? What's your perfect day like?
I like to wake up at like 5:30 before like the hustle and bustle of the day. And I know a ton of people are big on like morning routines. Like you have to do this, 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 this every day. I'm not that person. because I just feel different every day. Yeah. But I'll say, like, these are the things I would like to do in a day, not in any specific order, is like, I love to go on a really long walk, like an hour and a half walk at least, do a cold plunge. I love red light therapy. I love saunas. So like lots of self-care. I love reading business books. I don't know the last time I read a fiction book, but I do love like nonfiction books. So reading and studying, like I'm always a student.
What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite book or one that you're reading right now? What's your favorite?
Right now I'm reading The Emotion Code.
Okay.
Which is all about like trauma.
Yeah.
And how emotions are stored in your body and can release it and all
the things. Do you love it?
That's what I'm reading right now. One of my favorite, I have so many favorite like business and money books. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was probably like the one that launched us like into real estate investing. And so now we have a ton of real estate. But yeah, so many. I love Rich AF is a good one. I love Amanda Francis, if you know who that is.
Yeah, I do.
And so, just reading. I love cooking. So if I have the time to cook, then I'll cook. But for the most part, our house manager cooks our meals for us and she knows what we like. And so it's also nice not to cook or have to clean. And that's a perk of entrepreneurship, is like being able to hire the people that you want to have to help you, and walking the kids to school and picking them up and like just going and doing something fun with them after school. None of that I mentioned work, but I'd probably work from like 10 to 2. That would be like the ideal. Just get a solid 4 hours of work in and then lots of self-care before and then kiddo stuff after.
I always say that to my husband. I'm like, look, I just want to be like very productive from mine's probably like 9 to 1-ish is about when because I get up, I'm very similar to you. I get up at 4:30. So like shift it all by an hour, but I want that solid chunk in the morning where I can just do what I need to do. For me, that's usually working out. I like to do that in the morning, but just like not be pressured for time. And then like a 9 to 1, mm-hmm. that's my window of like maybe as productive as I want to be. And then the rest of the day, I want to be able to do what I want to do and hang with my kids and make the schedule what I want to make it and go to the soccer games and do the thing or not or whatever. And yeah, so I think we're on the same page there. I love that for you. I love that for you. Where are you going in Europe this summer or April?
We are going in April. We're starting in Croatia. My creative team won an incentive trip to Croatia. So I'm taking our creative team there. And then we have like a week break that we're not planning. So if we love Croatia, we'll stay there. If we're like, we've kind of seen it all, we'll fly somewhere random. And then we are doing 2 weeks with my best friend and her husband in Italy.
Amazing. I'm from Europe, born and raised. So I always want to know where people are going. We're going this summer to see my family. But that is amazing. The kids are going to love that so much.
Haven't been to Germany, right?
Yes, that's where I'm from. You should go. If you have that week off in between, maybe hop on over to Germany because it's going to be worth your while, especially if you're going. Were you going what month, you said? April, May?
April and May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might still be raining, but still beautiful to see, especially Southern Germany. Just go check it out. It's beautiful to see if you have nothing else to do that 1 week.
I'll add it to our list.
Yes. Add that to the potential itinerary. Okay. I want to leave with this. What would you say is the biggest blessing that you've gotten out of entrepreneurship? And also, what do you think is the biggest mistake that a lot of people make when they get into entrepreneurship?
The biggest blessing is being able to give a lot of money to charity. We've given like multiple six figures to various charitable organizations that we love. One of them being one of my very best friends, unfortunately got breast cancer a couple years ago. And so she created her own charity. And so we were able to fund some of her treatment. And stuff.
Love that. That's
really amazing. Like using the money for impact. And then now like I just love pouring into my team, right? We have a ton of employees. And so really like helping them up level and grow and like hit their financial goals and buy houses and stuff like
that. That's amazing. That's amazing. What do you think is the biggest mistake that people make when they get into entrepreneurship?
Not being consistent.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, you have to like have a drive and you have to just keep going every day, no matter what, especially like if social media is part of your brand and company. Like I think people give up too easily and too fast. Like everyone starts from zero. Like I literally started Your Tax Coach with zero followers, and you just have to keep sharing what you're passionate about and it will grow. The people will come to you.
I love that. That's great advice. That's amazing. Barbara, thank you so much for being here today. Tell all the people where they can find you, where they need to plug in, how they can reach you.
We spend the most time on Instagram @YourTaxCoach, and our website is yourtaxcoach.com.
And we are launching a huge real estate course the day that this podcast is launched. And so if you're into real estate at all, let's learn about how to save money in taxes with real estate.
Oh, you already have one subscriber now, because you will be seeing me in that course for sure, because my husband and I are a big fan of investing in real estate, and there's always more to learn. So I will be there with bells on and my notebook ready to take some good notes. I appreciate you being here so much. Everybody, if you have not yet followed her, please, please, please do yourself and your business a massive favor and follow her. You all know that I want to leave you at every episode this season with a question to ponder. And first, I'm going to give you a quote. And today I couldn't narrow it down to one because two felt really, really appropriate. And the first one is by arguably one of the most brilliant scientific minds ever, Mr. Albert Einstein. And his quote about taxes is, "The hardest thing in the world to understand is the income tax," which I firmly believe is true, which is why you don't do this yourself, which is why you function in your zone of genius and let the unicorns like Barbara over here function in her zone of genius. And the second one is actually from the fictional Alfred E. Newman of Mad Magazine, if anybody remembers that character. His quote is, "Today it takes more brains and effort to make out the income tax form than it does to make the income." So we all know taxes is really, really hard. Taxes is a hard subject, and you don't need to understand it all. You just need to understand how it works and let the nuance fall on the people who are really good at it and let them do the work. So it's complicated. Don't do it yourself. Do yourself the favor and pay people to do your bookkeeping, to do your taxes, to be your tax strategist, not just a bean counter. So my question for you today is, as the CEO of your business, how confident are you that you've got the tax part right? And if that confidence level is, I'm going to say, less than 90%, what the hell are you doing about it? Because this is your business and this is your money. And this is not just your financial safety and future, but also your children if you have them. So don't go wasting that money on things that you should be investing back into your life. So follow Barbara, find your tax people, pay attention to things, and I will catch you all on the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Embodied CEO podcast. To connect with me, head on over to www.kirstenscreen.com or find me on Instagram at thekirstenscreen. My DMs are always open, so drop in and say hi. Be sure to follow, subscribe, and share the Embodied CEO podcast. And if you're tired of hustling to grow your coaching business and you want an easier way, I've got a free training for you on how to scale and sustain a six-figure coaching business without trading all of your time for money and the constant fear of not having clients. Give it a listen today and start getting your time and your freedom back in your business. Now, promise me you're going to go out there and take some action.